Welcome back to Your Health. I'm Pamela Clark, and today we're talking about Tourette syndrome. Our guest is Duncan McKinley, a PhD candidate at the University of Waterloo and director of the Tourette Syndrome Foundation of Canada. Duncan, before the break, you mentioned how a child spends a lot of their mental energy suppressing tics if they're in school or out in public. What are the symptoms generally of Tourette syndrome?
Sure. I know we're going to talk about the various disorders that go along with Tourette syndrome a little bit later, and so I'll hold off on that for now and just talk about Tourette's in its purest form. To get diagnosed with Tourette syndrome, basically the criteria are that you have to have motor tics and phonic tics. Phonic tics are very radio-friendly. You get to hear a few of those, but hard to see my motor tics over the Internet. You have to have both of those symptoms for more than a year. The symptoms aren't due to any sort of medicine or other medical conditions. So, for example, if you were taking a stimulant medication, that made you tick, but when you went off the stimulant medication, you were no longer ticking, that wouldn't be considered Tourette's. And basically also symptoms have to occur before you're age 21. There's various disorders that can cause involuntary movements that can occur later in life, things like Parkinson's disease and Huntington's disease and post-viral encephalitis and head trauma because of an accident. For these various different reasons, if you were to start involuntarily moving after the age of 21, they wouldn't consider a diagnosis of Tourette. So they're both motor and vocal tics that occur for more than a year that typically begin to manifest between the ages of 6 and 9, and 96% of the time they've manifested before the age 11.
Why does it start at the age of 6 and 9? Is that when the brain is at a certain stage of development?
They're not really sure. There are other aspects of the disorder, things like the attention deficit hyperactivity, which we'll talk about a little bit later, that can come out a little bit earlier. But it seems to be just as there's various time delay genes that things are cued to manifest at certain points in life, like where certain genes, for example, to make our hair turn white, don't fire up until a certain point in life, and Tourette syndrome seems to be similar, that it's around the ages of 6 to 11 that the tics start to come out. I mentioned that there's motor tics and there's also phonic tics. By phonic tics, I mean tics that make a noise, and those can be vocal using the vocal cords, or other things such as a whistle like that make noise but aren't using the vocal cords. Both motor and phonic tics can be either simple or complex. So if it's a purposeless, meaningless movement that involves just one isolated muscle group, just your arm flying out, for example, that would be considered a simple motor tic. But if you had a number of simple tics all combined together into a ritual where your one arm went out a couple of times and you stamped your foot, shook your head, and blinked your eyes, that would be considered a complex motor tic because it involves a number of motor movements. And the same goes for phonic tics. That, for example, is a simple phonic tic. But there are some complex phonic tics as well that tend to be sensible words or phrases. So a lot of people have heard of the coprolalia, which is the swearing tic. It's not a very common tic. At most, 10 to 30% of people with Tourette's at the most severe end have it, but it's a very media-friendly tic, so a lot of people have talked about it. But that would be considered a complex phonic tic, is the swearing. As well, sometimes people with Tourette's experience what's known as echolalia, and that's when you imitate or parrot back what someone else is saying, and if that can get you in a lot of trouble. If people don't know you have Tourette's, or you get you beaten up in the schoolyard as you're growing up because people think you're just trying to irritate the other person or get under their skin. And the other type of complex phonic tic that you come across sometimes is something doctors call palilalia, and that means that you imitate your own words. So it might look something like that, where oftentimes tics are done to a feeling of not quite rightness, like it feels like you need to do it again and again until you've satiated this urge, until you've scratched the itch. And sometimes the way a word rolls off your tongue doesn't feel, quote-unquote, just right. And so you need to repeat it a number of times until you're able to move on, until you feel that you've gotten some resolution.
Now, is it the part of the brain that controls speech as well as muscle movement? Is there one part, and this is where the disorder has occurred?
Well, the neurological evidence, there's some that's coming out now that's appearing fairly reliable in the sense it's been replicated and seen a number of times now. But they're still not at a point where they can definitively say Tourette's absolutely is caused by problems in areas such and such. And they're certainly not confident enough in the research yet to be able to say, we just need to scan your brain to look to see if so-and-so area is misfiring and therefore you have Tourette's, and we can diagnose on that basis. But you are correct that some of the speech centers of the brain have been implicated in more recent studies, actually. Largely what's been found time and time again are two areas of the brain. One of them is the frontal lobe, and various areas of the frontal lobe have been implicated. And basically, the frontal lobe is like the like an orchestra leader for the brain, that it more or less supervises and plans over movements, for example, and executes them. And the frontal lobes also are the locus of what's called executive function. And by executive function, I basically mean your ability to sort of organize and plan yourself, your movements, your thoughts, your actions, long-term goal development and impulse control, so that you can delay gratification. Decide, no, doing this right now might feel good right now, but it won't feel good later, and so I better hold off on that. That's one of the areas of the brain that's been strongly implicated with Tourette's. And the other area is an area known as the basal ganglia. That's a little deeper down in the brain. It's an older area of the brain, evolutionarily speaking. And basically what the basal ganglia is in charge of is memorizing motor patterns of movement. And so there's connections between the frontal lobe and the basal ganglia such that basically what happens is if I get up and decide I want to walk out the door, the frontal lobe supervises, oversees that, decides, yes, I want to walk to the door, and sends the will down to other areas of the brain, let's go walk to the door. And it's the basal ganglia's job, basically as the reservoir of memorized motor patterns, to know what exactly you have to do to walk to the door. And so once the boss upstairs, the frontal lobe, tells you to do it, the basal ganglia actually fires off those motor patterns. And so some research I'm actually doing at the University of Waterloo for my doctorate dissertation is actually in this pathway and what might be going wrong between the frontal lobe and the basal ganglia so that these tics are coming out as they do in Tourette's syndrome.
That sounds like an awfully complicated, brain process, a thought process, and I can't even imagine a 6 or 9 year old trying to manage it.
It is very frustrating because you're absolutely right. When you're 6 years old, you don't know anything about frontal lobes or executive function. You just know that you've got a devil in your head. You seem to want to do one thing, and your body does another thing. And it's very disturbing in the sense that you feel very out of control. And it's very disturbing in the sense that anything that intuitively comes to mind to do about it doesn't work. In fact, it can often have the opposite effect and make things worse. For example, to go back to that itch analogy I used, remember I mentioned it's like not scratching a mosquito bite, and the more you think about a mosquito bite, the worse it gets. Your best course of action when you've got a mosquito bite is try and distract yourself away from it. If you're thinking, don't scratch it, don't scratch it, don't scratch it, don't scratch it, the urge is going to grow and grow. So oftentimes these 6, 7 year old kids know they're getting laughed at, know people don't understand them, hate this aspect of themselves, and just want to go away. So they think, don't shake your head, don't shake your head, don't shake your head. It's a logical process for a 6 year old to take. I don't want to do this, so I'm just going to think about not doing it. But in fact, it can make the urge that much stronger and make it come out 10 times worse. And so then you've got a very depressed child, a child that feels that he's got no power at all over his own body, that there's something up there watching to see what he hates. And as soon as he thinks about how much he hates it, it comes out 10 times worse, and he can feel almost persecuted from the inside.
I have a six-year-old, and I can't even imagine her going through any of this sort of thought process or trying to deal with something as complex as this. Now, it comes up, it just starts happening around 6 or 9 years old. So you said earlier it might be a delayed genetic gene. What was that?
Well, again, the genetic research is ongoing. It's I can say similar things about it as I can about the neurological research. They have hints. They have leads, but they don't have anything definitive enough to say, this is absolutely the gene that's causing it. Of course, the ultimate goal is to be able to have a genetic marker so that you could even screen for these things in an unborn child, just to get into the whole genetic counseling area. But in essence, what I can tell you is that there's a consortium, the Tourette Syndrome Association International Consortium for Genetics, and there's 12 sites internationally across the United States. We have one here in Toronto, Canada as well, that are actively looking for the genes involved in Tourette syndrome. It was initially thought some time ago, quite some time ago now, that there may just be one gene, that it would be what they call a dominant gene. And the idea behind a dominant gene is that it's basically a one-to-one correlation between having the gene and having the disorder. It's basically this genetic wild card that if you've got it, then you're gonna have Tourette syndrome. More and more, they're realizing that there can't be just one gene, partly because now that the Genome Project, they've gone all the way through it, they didn't find a single dominant gene. So now they're re-evaluating and realizing, okay, there's probably a number of genes, and there's been various theories. Perhaps they're, semi-recessive, semi-dominant. Perhaps there's a number of additive genes, such as in schizophrenia, where it's what they call polygenetic inheritance, that basically your risk for having Tourette syndrome increases with each with number of genes that you have. But basically where the genetics are at right now, actually I was in Washington just last weekend hearing the most recent update, chromosomes 4, 8, 11, and 19 seem to hold the best evidence for having some kind of implication with Tourette syndrome. But to use an analogy basically for what that means, if you consider the entire genome, the world, the globe, they've maybe narrowed things down to the continent, but they still have to get down to the country, the province, the city. There's still a lot of work to be done, but at least they're further along than they were.
Duncan, we need to take another short commercial break here. Please, everyone, stay tuned as we'll continue to find out more about Tourette syndrome after the break. Call us toll-free, 1-866-377-TALK. Email us, yourhealth@essentialthought.com, or go to the Daily Debate site, click on Your Health, and post your comment or question live. We want to hear from you.